This episode of The Drive with Lante and Derek Piper is brought to you by Two Men in a Truck, movers who care. Visit them online at twomenchampagne.com for a free estimate.
Here we go.
There's a drive!
That is Derek's dimes. Well done, well done.
I told you not to call, Hans. I know I'm talking over the intro.
High drive to left field.
I've been hearing that a lot. Let's all talk over the intro. What?
He called me.
Oh, okay. Never mind then. You're not fired.
If I'm Underwood,
I'll yell at Derek.
Go out and I want you to take every available shot you have.
Swing and a drive, and that ball is absolutely right.
Well, here we are.
And he drives one.
Coach Derek Piper here. Happy to be joined by Josh Whitman, Brad Underwood,
Lovie Smith coming in to join us.
Let's go for a little ride.
All right. I just fired Hans D and then rehired him during that intro. So it's Derek Burson's fault. Derek called, I guess. We'll blame Derek.
I set him up for 5:05. So I don't...
Yeah, he did what he's supposed to do. I mean, Derek's always on time. That's our fault. I just didn't want Derek have to sit there and listen to that intro. I mean, I know he listens to our show every second of every day, but I just didn't want him to have
to hear
that.
Especially the Cardinals segments.
Right? How are you, Derek?
I'm good. The bad part of listening to that intro is you hear all those famous guests you get, and then it's me. So that's all right.
Listen, we had a huge response the first time you were on because you kind of took us behind the scenes, and I think people loved it. And Derek and I were like, we need to have him on again for that. How are you doing with this stay-at-home thing? Is everybody still getting along? Are we still talking in the house? What? Give me the update.
Yeah, it's been an interesting. You know, when it started, our kids were on spring break.
Oh yeah.
So it was, you know, vacation for time for them and me. Check email. You know, set up interviews. Figure out what's going on. That was all fine. Now that e-learning has begun, and my wife's a teacher, and she's trying to figure out how to turn 20 years of lessons plans into online in the process of 2 days and whatnot. And my kids asked me 742 questions per 20 minute e-learning segment. I'm realizing it's going to be a little different deal here to get us through the end of the school year, but that's all right. Everybody's going through it, right?
Amen.
DB, have you had to deal with Zoom at all? I know that you were operating the teleconference earlier this week, and apparently someone that, to put it all, everyone on mute is such a challenge for I don't know what reason. Someone was at the golf course or something. It wasn't me. I'm just letting you know.
Yeah. We talked about trying to do a Zoom media call, and maybe that would have been better to limit background noise, because as the Zoom originator, you can make all the other participants mute, but then it's hard to unmute them to load up their questions. So
yes.
We went with our what used to be an old trusty standby method, and we found that was put to the test during Coach Underwood's 50-minute call on Tuesday. I think somebody texted me and asked me if somebody was building shelves during that call. I can't remember who asked that, but that's kind of what it sounded like for a couple minutes. But we got through it.
Derek, it's still not as bad as that golf cart leaving every football interview.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
Jeremy and I used to laugh because he'd come in and he's like, hey, I got some sound from Nate Shielhouse. I'm like, oh, sweet. And he's like, you're going to love it about the third question. And sure enough, you'd hear the golf cart. And I'm like, there it is.
What you found is over the years, you know, it used to be when I started, TV and radio were, you know, very concerned about the sound during interviews and the print deal. They didn't care as long as they
right.
got their quote and could transcribe it. Well, now everyone's recording it for video on their website or, you know, or in this case, a teleconference, everyone's trying to record it to play it back. And now you realize everybody's consumed with broadcast sound.
It's
changed over the years.
Derek Burson is our guest, Illinois basketball sports information director. If you have a question for Derek, just text us 359-2255. I'm going to shut up here in a minute and let Derek talk because I feel like I have talked this entire show. And I talk a lot anyway, but I feel like Derek just sits over there and he's like, Lon, shut up. So here's my last question. How much I know you like everybody in the media. See, I can ask this now because I'm not there anymore. But how much
just
of
why
a,
it's going to be your last question?
Yes. How much of a pain is the media? And you don't have to. You don't have to zero in on one person, Jeremy. You know, or Derek.
Man,
I mean, you
is
don't.
This the most loaded question you've ever had on this show, or what?
It is
where
amazing.
Where are we going here?
I don't think people. I'm kidding you, by the way. I don't think people don't understand the amount of requests that you get, Derek, with regards to a team. And it's not just, you know, and I'm being serious now. It might be Jeremy wants to talk to this guy. Derek wants to talk to this guy. Channel 3 wants to talk to this guy. 17 wants to talk to this guy. And I mean, how are you able to kind of figure all that out, I guess? And I know once in a while you got to be the bad guy and say, hey, we're not doing it. But, I mean, that's part of the job, I guess.
Yeah. Well, what I would say is it's a good problem to have, okay?
Good
because
call.
There are some days or some seasons that's not the case, and that's not a good. That's a bad thing, right? That's a bad sign if the number of requests aren't coming in. Illinois basketball, which is what you guys know I've worked with for so long, it's a little bit immune to that because of the interest level, right? The requests are there and the interest is there. Just sometimes it's tougher interviews for athletes to handle or coaches or whatever.
Sure.
But the beauty of our situation is that they do it so much and the media are around and it's such a becomes a routine, you know, that relationships are developed and then they understand that it's kind of what it is, you know, like it's just as much routine as Fletch stretching them before a lift. You know, they know in season that the day before a game, we're doing media. The day of the game, certain guys are doing media, and that's going to happen for the next 5 months, right? And then they know out of season, they know it. They know that our regulars, they're doing, hey, I need an off-season feature every week, or Derek will come by, you know, we'll schedule it around summer workouts, and because he's going to kind of do a catch-up or a look back at the season with everybody. It's almost like it's a routine thing, right? So our players get it. What does happen, though, is when you're having a better season, more people, the non-regulars jump in.
Right.
And then what starts happening is there starts to become a lot of, well, I want a one-on-one, and I just need this guy for 5 minutes. And, of course, it's 5 minutes to that person, but to a coach, it's all cumulative, right? Or an athlete, it's all cumulative to the rest of their day, and then they're going straight from practice to – they're eating and they're showering and they're going to class and then they're going to their academic appointment and then they're doing a lift or rehab in the afternoon or they're doing an individual appointment and then it's study and it's dinner and it's the next day, you know? Mm. So it's a lot, but they learn how to manage all that. And yes, I do sometimes have to be the bad guy.
Yep.
And that's not very good for me because that's not my nature either. I want to try and get things done, you know, but sometimes you just can't do everything.
Yeah. Just put Derek on the ground if you need to.
DB, playing off of that a little bit, obviously some players maybe don't enjoy the media obligations as much. And what's the most creative excuse you ever got on why you couldn't do an interview?
Ooh.
I love that question.
I can't. That's, you know, there's that in the locker room, out of the locker room. Those are my guys. I got to protect them there. So if they ever gave me a really, really good one, that's got to stay between me and them. But, you know, you work it out, right, over the course of the season. You don't go to the well too often unless, you know, it's somebody like Io is one of our guys right now that gets it, that comes with it, and it's pretty much, you know, he's never going to have an off day. Or if he is, it's going to be like if we do media 5 times in a week or 10 times over 2 weeks, he's probably talking 9 of the 10, right?
Wow.
And then he's going to take that one off, and then you move on. I think D – and you talk about a lot of individual requests. D. Brown, in his 4 years here, there was one, Brett Dawson can confirm it because he was on the beat at the time. One day of his entire career, he turned down media in his 4 years. And it was before practice, and he felt so bad about it that at the end of practice, he came over to me and he said, hey, can you call and let those guys know that, you know, I shouldn't have done that, and I'll talk to him tomorrow. And I swear to you, and he did that on his own. Like, what a stand-up guy.
Incredible.
Right? And a guy that understood it, and then you heard him on Jeremy's radio show, you know, yesterday, and wow, you know, how you can just tell why he's going to be a great coach. or is a great coach, and he's built for this profession, right? He gets it.
Yes.
He gets everything that comes with it. So
that's a cool
story.
That's
probably the – that wasn't a excuse, but that's the most memorable turndown of media I ever remembered. One, because it was the only time he did it, and two, that he wanted to rescind it after practice.
Incredible.
Any of the other behind this – while we're on the topic of D. Brown, and I'm sure we could turn it into an entire show.
Oh, my.
Any other behind-the-scenes stuff that really stuck out with him? You heard about how competitive practices were, the trash talk between him and Darren. How much of that were you exposed to during that time?
Oh, a lot, yeah. And the one-on-one that they would do in the middle of the night at Oven, they played cards all the time at their apartments, and they'd get trash talking, and then they'd just say, we're going to Oven, and having a one-on-one tournament. You know, they would be there at 2 o'clock in the morning on a Sunday morning playing one-on-one at Oven. It was about everything, too. It wasn't just basketball. I remember the day we won, we ended up clinching a share of the Big Ten title at Purdue in 2004. We were at the Holiday Inn in Lafayette, and during the day, I fancy myself quite the table tennis player or ping pong, whatever,
nice.
You know, go with whichever one you want to call it. And I was like, they had a table tennis there in like one of the lobby areas, and I was messing around with the racket, and those guys were coming out of pregame meal, and they walked by and they asked, I think Dee said, you think you're nice at table tennis? And I said, yeah, pretty good. And Darren is like, well, you're not better than me. And he grabbed the other paddle, and so we decided to play one game, and I'm telling you, I was on fire. I was channeling
nice
Pekin Boys Club 1992 serve, and just like my best game. And I got up, and then they all circled the table and started rooting for Darren, and they got in my head, and I absolutely caved. I choked so bad down the stretch, and it was all D. D was like running circles around the table tennis area and giving me, talking trash to me, and I absolutely folded. It was pathetic.
Doesn't that explain that team, though? Like, don't mess with one of their own.
Yeah, I do think it was the right thing to do, because do we win the game if I beat Darren?
Good call.
That afternoon, yeah. You know?
That's a good call.
Who knows how the game goes that night at Mackey, because, yes, these things are related, right?
Well, yeah. I mean, somebody owes you. That was Bruce, right? Bruce owes you a thank you for that.
Yeah, I don't know if I ever told him about that. I don't know if he would have wanted to know.
Yeah, that's probably
table
true.
Tennis-ing it up 3 hours before the game.
All right, Derek Burson, Illinois Basketball Sports Information Director. We have two questions. Who submitted? What am I? All of a sudden, I can't talk. Here we go. Who's the funniest athlete in Illinois history? I got to give my props to Lucas Johnson. And who's the biggest prankster? Mm. Probably again, Lucas Johnson. Who's the funniest and the biggest prankster in your time?
Oh man, Darren was he was sly. He had some good. He had some good stuff behind the scenes. Chester, why did I think that? Chester's, to me, the funniest.
Okay.
Frank was super funny. You know who's funny on our current team is DeMonte with guys, but he doesn't show that card in front of everybody. He's funny, but Chester, absolutely the funniest guy that I've been around. I mean, the amount of times, the thing, his impersonations of of people, unbelievable. And some of the, I'm thinking of some great Chester moments right now. He could do Al Martindale, our old trainer's
boy. Yeah.
He could do him perfect. And Al, you know, he was the trainer and also did like the travel at the time. His Al impersonations were incredible, but also worked well because they were so close, you know, because
I love it.
Chester obviously had a lot of injuries and Al took care of him. So they had a great relationship, and that could really make the guys laugh when Chester would do Al.
Love talking to Derek Burson, Illinois Basketball SID. Follow him on Twitter at Derek Burson. A lot of people telling MJ stories in the national scene with the Last Dance coming out. Thank the Lord, giving us something to look forward to here in a couple weeks, the ESPN 30 for 30. MJ, spent some time in Champaign with Jeff Jordan here. Any MJ stories on your end?
Yeah, obviously I wasn't exactly in the middle of that very much. It was more like, hey, he's coming, you know, what are we going to do? Where are we going to park them? Are we going to have to charge them for parking for compliance rules, you know, stuff like that for the in and out.
Yes, he could afford it.
He did. It was pretty cool. They came, I can't remember if his freshman or sophomore year. I have to go back and look, but the Today Show came and did a story, and he was here for a couple hours, and they did the story of him and Jeff, and that was really cool. And then I remember one game he came to a shoot around, and I'm like, I'm not that guy, you know, around celebrities, but it's freaking Michael Jordan, right?
Heck yes.
So you're having that internal struggle between, I've made a career out of not being that guy, but it's the guy. So, and I remember Wayne McLean is like watching me. He's like, you want to get a picture with him, don't you? I'm like, well, I do, but I'm a grown, you know, like
I know.
It's an approach. He's like, hey, it's okay. And he went up and talked to him and said, and then he asked me if hey, come over here and we snap a picture. And I'm like, okay, that's pretty cool. And I'm glad I did it. I'm looking at the 20 by 24 canvas of it right now over my,
fireplace. That is cool.
I'm making that part up. I did not get the 20 by 24 canvas over the fireplace.
I thought maybe you had Hans D's mom paint it. That would be cool. You're going to get a painting of it.
Now, DB, I can relate a little bit there with feeling that when Scott Van Pelt was in the building for the Maryland game.
Yeah.
I'm sure you're glad you didn't have to work any obligations around SVP when he was in town.
That was pretty cool. And what a genuine guy. That's why that was so cool, because it wasn't like, you know, roped off and, you know, he was just there enjoying the game and the crowd. And it was just a real moment. I thought that was so cool.
That is cool. Hey, we had another question come in. Why do the players stay at a hotel room for home games the night before?
They get better sleep.
Okay. That's it.
Yeah, it's pretty simple. A lot goes on college campuses and apartments the night before games. So they have a more regimented routine and sleep. And they kind of got into that since we, you know, our thing this year became road. Well, they call them road kills, but road, you know, we're getting the road wins in that road routine, and they feel like they're closer and more kind of like, you know, locked in. They started bringing that mentality to the night before home games too. And it just kind of became its own little thing that was kind of fed off each other.
Very cool. Derek, take us through, okay, let's do 7 o'clock games on the road and at home. You know, you don't have to go forever, but I mean, like, take us through, like, when Illinois has a home game, the night before they stay, obviously, in a hotel. I don't want you to give up anything you can't. I don't know if there's any secrets here, but like when they're on the road and then when they're at home, kind of what is the day look like for fans to kind of understand what they're doing?
Yeah. I mean, the biggest difference is if you're at home, you're going to class of the game, right? Where if it's a road game, you're obviously out of class. But, you know, if you're saying it's say here's a typical week, is you're playing two games in a week, right? The weeks in our league, no 2 weeks are the same because you play every day of the week over the course of the season. But say we're at Minnesota on a Wednesday night and we're home Saturday. That's very common. So you're playing at Minnesota on a Wednesday. You leave Tuesday, late afternoon. Our guys, our practice block is the morning, so we'll have our regular practice. They'll go to class. Then we'll leave from the airport. Arrive. Sometimes we practice or shoot at the home team's arena. Sometimes we don't, but they'll have dinner and meet at the hotel, sleep, get up, eat, go to a shoot around that's pretty intense, come back, pregame meal, go to the arena, play the game, probably an 8 o'clock game if we're at Minnesota. The game ends at 10. We're out of the arena after they shower and we do media and all that. We're on a bus at 11. To the airport, we get on the plane. They're de-icing it because we're in Minnesota and it's 30 below right now, right in the middle of January. We land an hour and a half later.
Wow.
They, you know, go to it. We go back to oven, unpack the bags, and go to bed. Maybe they're in bed by would be good there too.
Yeah,
they're in bed at 2, and then the next day is class and practice, and we're doing film and we're on to the next game, and then you're playing and, you know, 36 hours later, and that never stops.
That's
until
incredible.
They get, you know, maybe we'll end up getting a bye, and then that's a chance to kind of get real caught up. But yeah, they have a lot on their plate. There's no doubt about it.
It's incredible.
All right, DB, we've teased it all week.
Yes.
Speaking of road trips, the best Big Ten eats on the road.
Oh, man, what? Is there anything I have done more research on in my career than where to eat in, on the Big Ten on the road? Well, what do you want to do? Just go through this in alphabetical order? Let's do it.
You got a power rankings, you can do that.
Okay, all right. If I'm at Indiana, Nick's Engleshot, there's no question, right? Stromboli, of course. Young people may think the biz. I'm not about that life, but I'm going to have that Stromboli. We go to Iowa. I'm going to Vine Wings. No question.
Ooh,
there.
Yeah.
Maryland, Looney's Pub. Okay. Crab. Where? What college campus are you going to get crab legs for $17?
Holy cow!
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Real fresh seafood, big time, and their crab dip is off the charts as well. Michigan, I got to be honest with you, did not have a regular spot in Michigan, but Fletch introduced. You know, Fletch was a GA at Michigan back in the day, so he introduced me to Zingerman's. It's a deli, and then Zingerman's Roadhouse. Wow, the eclectic mac and cheese at Zingerman's Roadhouse. I'm just telling you there.
Derek is getting hungry going through this right now. Both of you.
Michigan State. This one's not. You know, and obviously you're. If you can't tell by now, I'm not throwing out nice fancy steakhouses, right? That's not how I tick.
Amen.
Michigan State. Crunchies. Give Crunchies a chance. If you're an old-timer U of I person, remember the White Horse on Green Street?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. That's my comp for Crunchies. It kind of reminds you, doesn't have the world's greatest beer garden, but kind of reminds you of the White Horse.
Love it.
Food and fare and feeling. So that's a big-time spot. Minnesota, we've been all over the map, but we've kind of locked in lately on Kieran's Irish Pub, their walleye. Can't go wrong there.
Oh, that sounds good.
Nebraska, we stay downtown. There's a burger place there called Honest Abe's that we've found to be very well. And then I'm gonna probably end up regretting this because I'm saying this on the air, but I'm gonna tell you about the highlight of Lincoln and who I go with, and he probably doesn't want this out there, but Fletch, I think I can say this, has a bit of a sweet tooth, okay? And Fletch has gone with me to what's called Hertz Donut. And look it up. Look up the pictures on Yelp later. Unbelievable donut place.
Nice.
And I've seen him put down more than what he would recommend to any training athlete at that place. But so for dinner, I'm going Honest Abe's. If I need a sweet treat, I'm saying Hertz Donut there.
That is awesome.
Northwestern, Bat 17, great deli. Sandwiches, pastrami. Ohio State, the hotel we stayed at the last couple of years. Now, this is going to be controversial.
Oh, boy.
Because people are either pro or con. I am pro Skyline. I don't know what you guys are. But as a Skyline connoisseur, there's a Skyline that's a third of a mile from our hotel. So that's where I'm going. What are you guys, by the way? Are you pro or con?
I've never had it.
Same.
Oh, man.
And I've been to Columbus a couple of times, and I've never had it. So I don't want to say it's on my to-do list, but if I ever roll through Columbus again, you're saying I've got to get it, right?
You know, it's Cincinnati's where it's based out of.
Right.
They've got them all over, right?
Okay.
So, yeah, I mean, I had a Cubs-Reds game in Cincinnati, and so it's kind of, it's just one of those polarizing.
Yes. You got to do
it. People either love it or they can't, or they're not about it.
Yep.
I'm about it. Anyway, Penn State, Pramani Brothers, you probably heard of it. It came out of Pittsburgh, but there's one on campus. I'm hitting that. Purdue, Sixth Street Dive. What a tenderloin. Unreal.
Really?
Look it up on Yelp.
See, that's one that...
tenderloin sandwich guy.
That's close enough here that, you know, anybody could roll over to. What is it called?
Yeah.
Sixth Street Dive.
Sixth Street Dive. I promise you I'm not steering you wrong on these recommendations. Rutgers. Got to do it. Piper, if you haven't done this one yet, Destination Dogs. If you're a hot dog guy,
nice.
They're gourmet dogs. They got like 80 of them on the menu.
Wow.
Whoa.
It's look it up. Get online and look up their, like, it's insane, the options you can do on your dog there. And then Wisconsin, I'm doing the old-fashioned, and probably my number one item on this whole list the cheese curds at the old fashioned. I've done dangerous, dangerous things to my body in terms of the quantity of curds I've consumed from that place in 20 years. So,
see, you just made me mad because you put Wisconsin at number one because they've got enough success right now. Can we yeah, throw them down a little bit?
I don't know if I can with these curds.
Well, Derek, that's incredible. You just ripped that off, and not only that, but he went in order.
Well, I'll admit, as somebody that's typed like things out about in my stats and notes, the league for 20 years, I always do an alphabetical order. So the only times I've ever struggled with that was like when we added Maryland and Rutgers. You know, you had to get to the routine of including them, but it's not very hard for me to do the league in alphabetical order.
Hey, Illinois, always on top. Always on top.
That's right.
That's exactly right. Well, Derek Burson, as long as this COVID-19 thing keeps going, we've got to get you back on again. Are you opposed to that?
Yeah, I'm just trying to think. Man, when are you going to run out of material with me? Because my life is not very exciting.
Probably one more.
Now, out of respect as a Cubs fan, we pegged you for some old style with these eats, and we joked about what was the safe amount and still being able to write an emergency press release. I don't know if you can share that over the air.
Well, we didn't bring Cubs into it. If we're going Wrigleyville, I'm going to Dark Horse.
Ooh.
You talk about another place that has great curds and an old-style tall boy. Yes, you can talk me into one there. Yeah.
Okay.
One, maybe two. Maybe two.
We want to know how many beers Derek's hammering down before a game. No, I'm kidding. I know you don't do that. Derek, I have to tell you one story. When I was at college, when I was a senior, I said this earlier in the show. I announced all the SIU women's basketball games, and we went to Madison, Wisconsin, and we were playing at the old, I don't remember what it was called, but they had a, you probably know.
The UW Fieldhouse?
That's it.
The original, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, that's what it was. And so the men had had a game like at 11, and then our game, the women's game, was like at 5 or 6. So we roll in. And again, I'm in college. I'm a student doing this essentially for a resume. I'm not getting paid. And we roll in, and the SID, and I cannot remember his name, and I hate that, but he's like, hey, Lon, he's like, all the press room's right down the hall here to the right. He's like, you know, you can get all your material before the game here. And he said, you might like what's in there. And I'm like, what? So I go down there. They had a cooler, like it was a stand-up cooler full of beer. And I'm like, wait a minute, is this what happens? Like media get beer after games? So they had beer for the media. So Derek, I'm ashamed to say this, but I threw down like three beers and then went and did, because the SID was my color guy. And he goes, Lon, just have a beer, enjoy yourself. You're not getting paid. So I did. I had like three of them, went up, and I think I announced the best game I've ever announced in my life. And I'm like, well, that's not good. But have you ever seen beer?
It's not the press box operations I run, but I have seen, there was a bunch of pictures we were scanning in at one point in time, and there, remember the old, it's State Farm or Assembly Hall then at the time, remember the two rows of, like, white tables at the top of A?
Yes.
On what would that be, the east side that at one time the press sat there,
yep,
right?
Yep, I did.
Since
yep.
I've worked here, but yeah, at one point in time that was press row, there's a picture of like the state tournament, and it's media row, and they're alcohol, you know, there's liquor and beer and cigarettes and phones and pens and shirt and ties, and I'm like, that's a different time.
And Lauren Tate was there.
He was not in the photo that I saw.
Not in the photo. I love it. Derek Burson, we have held you for 30 minutes. We apologize, but you're a must listen to, and we appreciate you doing this. I promise you, though, I mean this, we're going to do this again if it's okay with you.
That's fine. I got to be honest, I don't really have a lot on my schedule right now. So
he's pretty clear. He's freed up. Well, we appreciate it, my friend. I know you don't think it's fun, but you are able to provide a lot of insight to answers that probably a lot of fans think about. You know, they think about, like, why does the team stay in the hotel, or where do they eat all the time, et cetera. Just all the X's and O's, if you will, of getting a team on the road and getting him home and even at home. So it's fun stuff. It's fun to sit and listen to. So we'll do it again. Derek Burson, you're a good man. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, guys.
All right, buddy. He is a Cubs fan, though, I forgot. So that, I mean, he could still be a good man. It's just there's that little wart on there.
We'll broach that a little bit more in the next the next time.
I'm thinking that's maybe the next time with Derek as we go a little bit further personal life. I think he's from Pekin. Is that what he said? Pekin.
Sounded like it, yeah.
So we'll ask him, you know, like, you know, why the Cubs? I don't get that. Of course, you and I. Hans, you're a Cardinals fan. You don't have to talk, Hans, but you can.
No, I'm a Cubs fan.
You're a Cubs fan?
Yeah, I'm kind of offended by all this going on, but whatever.
I forgot Hans was a Cubs fan.
He's wearing a Bears hat. I like that.
Yeah. It looks good.
It kind of goes together. If you're a Bears fan, you know, you kind of, all right, he's probably a Cubs or White Sox. I don't really understand your side, Derek, but
I did it right because I'm a Cardinal football fan, and they were in St. Louis.
Yeah. And a Blues fan.
Yeah.
Hans is challenging the way I was raised.
He totally is right now. You're going to bring Mr. and Mrs. Piper into this?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, boy. That could be. I want to see the D family and the Piper family out here in the parking lot.
Who you got?
Who you got? That's a good transition. I like that. You could put Jan Tay in there, too, in the who you got. Don't mess with Jan. Do not mess. She had a ruler that she used to beat us with.
Seen her walk these hallways, and I was intimidated.
I mean, it was a thick ruler, and it wasn't a ruler that was like your typical you had in your desk.
Oh, yeah.
It was a long ruler that they used to give away like at state fairs and county fairs and stuff. And if you knew you were in trouble, if she started heading to the hallway down, or I'm sorry, the closet down the hallway by the front door we never used, next to the dining room we never used. We used to eat Christmas like we'd eat in the dining room, and my dad would be like, oh, I always forget about this place. So if she was heading to that closet, you knew what was coming out.
Not even regulation size.
No. And
probably corked.
Oh, so bad. Oh. I think she put like weights in it, fishing weights, you know, to add to the pain. And then I think the one year she got mad at my brother, they always argued more. Mom fought. She would end any of that. But they argued more than my mom and I did. I was kind of a cool kid, you know. But I remember one time she did spank Lance or whatever, and it snapped the ruler, and I think he laughed. And I was like, I'm out of here.
It's dangerous.
I do not want to see what comes next in this one. I like ran to Camargo, I think. That was like an 8-mile run. I'm like, I'm out. All right, that's a little peek into Lon's childhood with my mom, who now when I send her Mother's Day cards or Christmas, I always put Mommy Dearest on it. And you kids are too young for that movie, but you'll have to look it up. And I'm kidding you, Mom. You know I'm kidding you. My mom is awesome. All right, we're back with Who You Got, Hans D edition. It's The Drive.
This episode of The Drive with Lonte and Derek Piper is brought to you by Two Men in a Truck, movers who care. Visit them online at twomenchampagne.com for a free estimate.
If you're a pro, Lowe's knows how hard you work every day. So it's important that others are working hard for you. We're here to help with the supplies you need to make critical repairs and the products your customers need to keep their homes safe and healthy during this important time. From our convenient curbside loading to spring savings on the products you need most, our focus is to help keep your business moving forward. Lowe's is pro ready, and we thank you for all you do.
How much money would you like to save just by doing something you're already doing? How about 40%? With Allstate, safe drivers can save 40% just by doing something they're already doing. Driving safe. That's right, 40% just by driving safe. Visit Allstate.com or call a local agent for a quote today and see just how much.
There's one name you need to know in car repair in the Central Illinois area, and that's John Marshall. John is the owner of PDR Automotive in Urbana and makes it his mission to know that your car will start when you come to pick it up. John strives for a repair in the most efficient time possible and is the right person to take care of your car. From tires to engine to electrical to the simple oil change. Trust in John at PDR. 1008 North Cunningham in Urbana. John's team will take care of you like family.
Well, you've done very well in this job interview. I want to know what powers you through the day.
Well, I use a AAA battery as a backup on my alarm clock. Then I turn on my TV for the weather with my AA powered remote. I drove here in my car that has an MT58 Interstate battery. Oh, I forgot about my watch. It has a coin cell battery from Interstate Battery. I once had a fire in my house, and I knew about it because my smoke detector had a 9-volt Interstate battery. So I guess you could say that Interstate Battery powers me. If you need the hookup, go to them in Champaign on Madison.
Wow, you seem charged up for this job.
Big Grove Tavern in downtown Champaign is now open for curbside pickup. In addition to menu classics like steak frites, shrimp and grits, burgers and salads, you can order a special family meal for four. Friday and Saturday is steak night. Grilled beef tenderloin sliced for family-style dining and served with roasted red potatoes and sautéed carrots. And don't forget to add a bottle of wine or spirits to your order for curbside pickup. Check out Big Grove on Facebook and at BigGroveTavern.com. Big Grove, big flavor.
Hi, I'm Troy Lands, owner of Lands Inc. You never realize how much you rely on the plumbing in your home until something goes wrong. A small leak can end up with a big repair if it's not taken care of right away. At the first sign of trouble, visit LandsInc.com. While there, learn more about plumbing, drain cleaning, and underground solutions. At Lands Inc., our commitment is to you, the customer. We look forward to having you be a part of the Lands family. I'm Troy Lands, and you can count on my company because you can count on me.
If you're looking to save money at a grocery store with fresh fruits and vegetables, with in-store help, and someone who bags your groceries, I invite you to visit Value Check, where cost plus food creates more savings. Value Check, where quality and price meet you in the middle. Did I say you'll save money? You'll save money. Fantastic specials every single week. If you want to save money on your groceries, visit Value Check today. They're at 1914 Glen Park Drive in Champaign.
When you go to the dentist, do you want the less expensive guy? Or the one who knows how to best take care of your teeth? How about the mechanic for less?
That'll do.
Of course not. Just because you can find a service for less doesn't mean it's the best deal. The same is true for moving. You want a quality, stress-free move with professional, experienced movers, you should call Two Men in a Truck. Find out why they are the movers who care. TwoMenChampaign.com. That's a smart move.
A reminder that Honda BMW of Champaign is still open by appointment. They're available for vehicle service and are helping keep you safe with complete disinfection offered for the inside of your vehicle. If you don't want to leave your home and head in to Honda BMW, no worries. They're available online. That's right. You can buy a car completely online and they'll deliver it to you. Find the vehicle that fits your needs without ever leaving your couch. Honda BMW of Champaign, here to serve you during this tough time. Located at the corner of Neal and Burwash or online, drivechampaign.com.
Farmers are the backbone of our communities. At Prospect Bank, we cultivate relationships that help ensure our farmers have the tools they need for a bountiful harvest. I'm Matt Hoos, and as the Chief Agribusiness Officer at Prospect Bank, I'll put my years of experience to work for you and your operation. Get the conversation started by calling 217-896-2423. Opportunities are waiting for you. Member FDIC and Equal Housing Lender.
Rescue workers face death every day, and far too often their families lose them while they're helping you on the road. When you see emergency lights flashing, you must slow down and move over to the far lane. That includes red, blue, and orange lights. If you hit someone on the road, you'll be charged with a felony. That means jail time. Help us keep our families safe when we're out helping yours. When the lights are flashing, use caution passing. Let's all go home safe tonight.
Brought to you by Tapman's Towing.
Hi, it's Stevie J. Start your day with me along with Diane Ducey, weekday mornings 7 to 9, here on ESPN Radio 93.5.
I'm going to teach Derek Piper how to drink here in a minute.
I saw that.
Lost a little water.
Yeah, it's not, I don't mean drink as in beer. I think I've seen him do that. You know how to do that. But yeah, you were taking
the water bottle dripped on the shirt.
So I've got this gigantic solo cup that is full of water. That's a promise. But it's like sometimes it rushes down and it'll go. I'm like, really? It's like when ice comes down, you know?
Yeah, I know.
Clumsy.
Talk about CMI, Chemical Maintenance Incorporated. They know that cleanliness is on everyone's mind in this uncertain time. They offer a viral disinfectant kit that allows anyone to make disinfectant solutions that are effective against contagious viral and bacterial pathogens, coronavirus, influenza, norovirus, and more. One shot, 256. Century Q disinfectant is hospital grade, so you know it's good and can help protect you, coworkers, students, employees, friends, and family against COVID-19. Go local with CMI. Check them out online at CMIclean.com.
Okay, this is beautiful. Somebody texted in, they said, Lon, a long ruler is called a yardstick.
That's hilarious.
Thank you. That is true. Sometimes I show my stupidity on the air. I don't mean to. You know one thing I forgot? Although I did it in the first hour.
Important to do it again.
Yeah, because we're all like, you need a beer every once in a while. And now we're all just kind of sitting around going, what am I going to do tonight? Well, how about this?
Let's sit on the back porch.
Yeah, boom. Oh, yeah. All right, we're still taking your suggestions for maybe restaurants in your town that you want to give a plug out to. We've had a lot of them. Somebody said Scratch and Rocks in St. Joe. I've never eaten at Scratch. Rocks, awesome. They have cheeseburgers like Steak and Shake. And then Rocky Kane, I think I've said this 100 times on the air, but his son, when he played travel ball, they went out to Cooperstown, which is a pretty cool trip. And he discovered a wing sauce out there that he loved, and the guy gave him the ingredient. So I think it's called the Atomic Wing at Rocks, but don't look at it like that, because I'm not a guy, like, I usually order like mild or medium, right? The hot, I don't like the spicy hot.
Yeah.
Not temperature warm. But his, what that is it's incredible. Incredible. So if you go to Rocks, try that out. Old Bank in Leroy, the pork nachos are on fire, somebody said. Another for Rocks Place. That was from Greg, and that's it for sure. But if you want to still weigh in, we've got just a little time here. If you want to throw a shout out to your local establishment, just shoot me the name. And if you know of a special they're having, then we're going to do our part to help spread the word. And maybe somebody will be driving through your town tonight on the way back from work and decide, hey, I'm going to hit that and help out with it. So Hans D, are you ready?
I'm ready. Are
always
you ready?
I am. It's time for who?
Ready to throw down with Hans.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's right. There's a little
beef.
I'm just kind of in the middle here.
We'll squash it one day.
How do you fight with social distancing?
That's a great question.
You got to do like the, what do you call that?
You do a bro off.
A bro off?
A bro off?
Yeah. If you know the real bros of Simi Valley, please go watch that. It's hilarious.
Oh, boy.
There's some bro off going on. It's just a bunch of yelling at each other from a distance.
Push-up contest?
What?
Push-up contest?
Yeah. They do that.
Okay. How about a rap contest? You guys could rap. Mm.
Oh. I don't know.
Hans is from the streets.
Paper, rock, scissors. Yeah, right. You don't want to. Yeah. I mean, he's already doing bro offs. You don't want to mess with him. All right, Hans.
So, Pat Chambers beat Underwood last week.
Yes.
He is fighting Fred Hoiberg.
Pat Chambers moves on. I have a feeling, and I'm not going to give any thought to this. I'm not going to start thinking about other coaches right now because then it'll ruin it.
See, because that's what I was trying to do.
Yeah, I don't want to do that. I want to just every week we're faced with a new one.
I feel like this is a one.
Pat Chambers is not getting beat by Fred Hoiberg.
No.
The tougher battle was last week against Brad Underwood. Underwood took him the distance, and it was by, what do you call that, TKO?
Yeah.
That's a technical knockout, yeah. So, but Chambers absolutely demolishes Hoiberg in like two rounds in a fight
this
here.
This is a one seed versus a 16 seed.
Yeah, no, there's no doubt. Honestly. Good call.
Chris Collins, also a 16 seed.
Oh, yeah. Not even allowed in the tournament, actually. They're like, you can't fight.
All normal right, now, for Northwestern. Not allowed in the tournament.
Yeah.
Ching!
Now we're going to basketball. So we're playing basketball. We're not fighting. Carl Anthony Towns.
I like the fights better.
We'll get back to that.
Oh, okay.
Tracy Abrams and Ken from the text line.
Oh, yeah, Ken.
Versus Pascal Siakam.
Ironically, we haven't heard from Ken today.
Mm-hmm. Maybe he'll text in.
So once again, Ken, if you weigh in, it gives you a better chance of winning.
Yeah, we need to know the skill set.
Yeah, we got to have a skill set. So we need your, you know, dimensions, like 6 foot, 205, and I'm a good cook, or I don't know.
Sell yourself.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah.
Against Pascal Siakam, Malcolm Hill, and John from Camargo.
So Siakam advanced last week.
Oh, yeah.
Because I still don't know who that is. Pascal Siakam.
Center. He's pretty good.
Sounds like he ought to play for the Ottawa Senators.
Yeah.
Hill and John from Camargo. Or Carl Anthony. Okay, now that we've given the texters a chance to weigh in, let's skip and we'll come back to that one.
Sounds good.
Okay.
Next up, the 2015 Illini team, Malcolm Hill, Kendrick Nunn, and Maverick Morgan.
Ooh, that's a pretty good team.
Versus the 2010-2011 team, Dimitri Makemi, Mike Davis, and Mike Tisdale.
Wow, this is a solid one. So, Mav Morgan's senior year was really good.
Yeah, this is his junior year, but you want to say senior year, that's fine.
Let's
give him the senior.
At their peak.
The best version.
Okay, at their peak.
They got to the third round in the Big Ten.
Okay.
Lost to Purdue.
Morgan at his peak, was he better than Tisdale at his peak? Mike Tisdale's pretty good.
Mike Tisdale was pretty good.
I think I'm going to lean Tisdale.
Morgan could really score there.
Yeah.
As a senior. I would lean Tisdale too, though.
Okay. Didn't Maverick Morgan have like a staph infection or something the one year? He had to miss an entire year. He almost like passed away from it. I mean, honestly, it was a serious thing. Was that Mav or was
Simrow?
No, that was Richard Simrow. Thank you. Good call. Sorry, Mav. I didn't. Mav was healthy. All right, so Kendrick Nunn, Malcolm Hill, Mav Morgan against Makemi, Davis, and Tisdale. Davis and Tisdale, they got height. Plus, I'm going Makemi squad. I'm going Davis and Tisdale.
Makemi is the...
He's the stud of that group.
The top dog in this one. Nunn pretty darn good.
Yeah.
But, yeah. And Mike Davis, I think Mike Davis is underappreciated.
I agree.
For how good he was.
Mike Davis.
Really good rebounder.
Mike Davis.
Had the dunk at the end of the Michigan State game when game day was in town.
Didn't he play on that? Didn't he play in the Arizona game? The elite? He did. Is that who I'm thinking of? No, that was Warren Carter.
Warren Carter.
That's who I'm trying to do, a Mike Davis.
Yeah, you're doing the Warren Carter.
Yeah, what am I doing?
Mike Davis in that. Could
I'm
work.
So bad. I've made a lot of mistakes today. Obvious mistakes. All right, we're going Makemi, Davis, Tisdale.
All right, sounds good. Next up, football. John Buecher,
who got beat up by a teammate at Iowa.
Ooh, that what happened?
Yeah.
So that's
he
why
he roomed with like an offensive lineman at Iowa. Offensive lineman, big guys, right? I mean, they're not. I mean, don't mess with them.
Got a nasty streak.
Yeah, I feel like you could hit an offensive lineman like physically hundreds of times and not even affect him.
Maybe that'll be the next year you got.
Boom.
Offensive lineman.
Boom. Put Kendra Green in there, and I got him in the finals.
Yeah.
I wouldn't mess with that dude.
He's a beast. Antonio Harris and Brennan Lloyd from 2002.
Antonio Harris, don't sleep on him. He was a good running back. Buecher, Harris, and Lloyd. Okay, go ahead.
Versus Nate Shieldhouse, Michael LaShore, and A.J. Jenkins.
Mikkel.
And they moved on from last week, too.
Yeah, so you got Lloyd against Jenkins. I'll take Lloyd any day.
Wins.
You got Shieldhouse against Buecher. I'm taking Shieldhouse any day.
Okay.
I got to go LaShore over Antonio, even though Antonio Harris was good, man.
Yeah. This LaShore year, as we reminded last week, 1,700 yards, 17 touchdowns.
Antonio had a better career, probably. Maybe?
To look up the stats.
He was like the second all-time rushing leader.
Is he behind like Robert Holcomb or something?
Would it be? All right.
We need to...
Or men...
That'd be a good segment sometime, Derek.
Yeah. Career yards for Mikel looks like 2,500, 23 touchdowns on the ground. Antonio Harris, 2,900, 22 touchdowns.
Oh. Okay. Because LaShore had just the one.
He had the one huge year.
Yeah. Oh, man. You know what?
And then went pro as a junior.
I'm going Buecher, Harris, Lloyd, because Buecher, not as good as Shieldhouse, but with Brandon Lloyd, if you threw it within 20 feet of him, he's catching it.
He could make some spectacular catches.
Incredible. Now, if you go the other team, Hans has to make the decision as to who advances.
Okay. I do agree with you. Shieldhouse is the winner over Buecher. Lloyd's such a clear favorite over Jenkins, but I'm going with my boy Mikel.
Okay.
Centennial pride.
That's right.
Here.
That's right. You went to the heart here.
An incredible year when he 1,700 yards.
He was incredible that year.
I'd agree with
Eric. And, you know, Jenkins was a first-round pick. Yeah, the one. This team was the, except for Nate, this LeSueur and Jenkins were the like one hit wonders almost. I don't want to say it like that. You know what I mean?
We know what you mean.
Okay, just for posterity's sake, I'll go with you.
That was fine. Hans said that he's got my side, but he also went to Centennial, so we're not really very...
This is a lot of hard on the... Well, then they advance. They advance. Yeah. Future Harrison Lloyd get upset. We need to do a segment sometime just on all the career leaders in different basketball and football, let's say.
Sure. And yeah, Antonio Harris was...
In volleyball and women's basketball. I'd love that.
He was second all-time in rushing.
Who's number one?
Robert Holcomb,
one of my favorite guys.
By almost 2,000 yards.
Robert Holcomb was like, yeah, he was good. 35, I think, number 35. I went and did a story with him. He was on the Rams, and Simeon Rice was on the Cardinals, and they played in St. Louis. And I went and did a story on he and Rice. It was cool. Jerome Bettis was the main running back for the Rams. The wheels on the bus go round and round. That was Jerome. All right, go ahead.
All right, next up. We're doing animals now.
Okay, we got to go quick on these.
All right, silverback gorilla versus
back.
Anaconda.
The winners have now been paired against each other.
Oh, wow. I still hate the thought of an anaconda. I think it would be the worst death ever. Because not only do they freak you out coming at you, but then they just get you and they restrict you and constrict you or whatever, and you can't breathe. But you know what? My boy, silverback gorilla, he's a veteran. He's going to hide. He's going to, like, get next to something that's silverish, and the anaconda is going to, like, slither on by, and he's going to pick that thing up by the head.
Smash the
jaw.
And
he's going to, like, start twirling it and just throw it against a tree, and it'll wrap itself around a tree, and the anaconda will think that's, like, a something, and it'll start to constrict the tree and not win and wear itself out, and then the silverback will do, like, a top rope elbow. Bam! Jaw broken, face smashed in, anaconda, you're done. You're not moving on.
What do I say?
I don't even know.
Silverback, baby.
Yeah.
Silverback.
All right. Next up, polar bear versus...
I said we got to hurry, and I went into like a four-minute...
Yeah.
I think it was the best part of the show. So
that person was good.
True.
Yeah.
All polar right. bear versus tiger.
Okay, again... We said last week the polar bear, because it's cold, you just feel like they'd be in a bad mood. I just think the tiger would have too much of an advantage here. Tigers are strong.
Too nimble.
Yes.
Yeah, the polar bear's not going to be able to.
Unless you're fighting this on ice.
It depends on the climate.
But I'll still go tiger.
All right.
10 inches of tiger.
Is this a home and home neutral site?
It's a neutral site. Not in Greenland.
Russia.
It's in Australia. It's in Russia. All right, yeah, I'm going tiger then.
I think they have both of those in Russia.
Do they really? I know they have a lot of tigers there.
It's crazy.
Why would I know that?
Next up, scorpion versus tarantula hawk wasp. Those are the ones.
Snicker out of neck. Yeah, those are the ones that like
lay eggs and spiders.
In a spider. Look, I said it the last time. The superiority in the air... I'm going the tarantula hawk wasp. I mean, I'd feel bad for the scorpion.
Scorpion, quick strike.
Boom.
I don't know. That's what I got.
Finish him. Wasn't that the scorpion? And finish him. He would shoot the thing over.
I'm going to go with the wasp.
Okay, wasp advances. Yeah. All right, two more.
Swordfish versus bull shark.
Are bull sharks really mean?
Yeah.
Oh, they are.
They sound like it,
right?
They're like third most dangerous shark.
The swordfish is a cool thing.
Yeah.
But I think the swordfish could try to cut up through a bull shark, and the bull shark would be like, what are you doing?
Mm.
Like, you're not affecting me at all. And then he would just cut the sword in half. I'm going bull shark.
Yeah, once the sword's broken,
done.
And he's got nothing.
Yeah.
I'm going with the upset. Swordfish attack boats.
Do they really?
Yeah.
But we said bull shark.
I'm going with the swordfish.
So that means they advance? Even though it's 2-1?
Well, you guys went with the bull shark. I'm just going with my...
I think you re-emphasized to say, no, I'm going... The swordfish is moving on. This is my segment.
This is your
and
segment,
Hans. The swordfish is advancing.
The swordfish is 1,400 pounds. Man. Okay, last one. We've got like a... We got literally...
Oh, gee.
Not even a minute.
All right, we're going mythical here. Orc versus three goblins. Who you got? If it helps you,
I don't know what
from like Lord of the Rings.
Can they just not advance, either one of them? Because I don't know anything about an
orc. Goblin.
Okay, we'll go goblin.
All right.
He's 3.5 foot, but he's ferocious.
There's three of them.
Well, that's true. They come at you every different way. You're like, what are you doing? All right, that's good. An orc is 6'8", 250, and he's made from a dead elf.
Can you shoot the three?
They're nasty.
Can he shoot the three?
Yeah, stretch four.
Orc. Oh, boy. Somebody just sent me a picture of a beer. That's so not fair. Although it's kind of fair because it's getting time when we leave. Let's get out of here.
By the time.
Thanks to Michael Rivers. Adopt a minor leaguer. Follow them on Twitter, @FromAdopt. And Derek Burson on again. He was awesome. Let's get out of here.
This episode of The Drive with Lante and Derek Piper is brought to you by Two Men in a Truck, movers who care. Visit them online at twomenchampagne.com for a free estimate.